Hallelujah. Let's sing it all together. Yes, Lord, for you are God.
For you are God.
Notice the life of Jesus. The Bible gave us a prophetic word all through the Old Testament. The entire theme of the Bible is about one man, Jesus. So we've seen that the first prophetic word that came was in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 about the birth of the Messiah. Amen. But if you look at it so powerfully, you will find out that every creation from how God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says he created man in his own image. How he created Adam and Eve was also prophecy. And many of you know that God can never be surprised. Amen. Number two, and many of you know that God knows the end from the beginning. Praise God. So God does not react. He knows the end. And another thing, interestingly, you must understand is that whatever God have designed for you, amen, will come to pass. And that is why the devil is fighting the way he's fighting. But if Jesus Christ, his assignment to this, to come to this world and to restore man, and all of the prophetic word and every prophecy came as the only begotten Son of God and all of that, and every word for him was to bring salvation to mankind and to restore the relationship of God. And many of you know that if me was Jesus Christ with all of those prophecy, and I know that I am a child of God, a son of God, I won't pray. Or do you understand what I'm saying? With all the prophecy on my life, that I'll be born with angels announcing my birth. Angels, there are four people God, angels announced their birth in the Bible, and Jesus was one. Imagine they came to tell my mother that you are going to have a son. His name shall be Jesus. And now I am Jesus Christ. And I came and they told me that it was angels. Do you know I won't pray? I will just fulfill destiny. So I asked the question, why would Jesus do 40 days prayers to fulfill his own prophecy? The Holy Spirit said to me, as long as you wear this flesh, you must fight to fulfill destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? As long as you wear flesh, because this flesh, you know, the enemy takes advantage of it. There was prophetic word, but there's something I've discovered, you know, that as you pray, you are pushing forth forces that are trying to resist you to fulfill why God kept you in this life. I am so sure there is a shift for somebody in this season that you are stepping into the flowing river of your destiny. And you'll be glad you are in this meeting for such a time. Because you need to understand that the reason why God is engaging you to pray is because something needs to bring forth. Do you know that when your miracles is closed is when the pressure is high? So the Lord wants you to push into what he has designed for you. And this is your moment. You don't want another 12 months to pray these prayers. You don't want another 10 years to pray these prayers. You have to break forth. Hallelujah. Number two things I saw is that Jesus Christ did 40 days prayer. That is one of the most discouraging verses of scripture I have read. That 40 days of not eating food, being in the presence of God, after he came out, the first thing he saw was Satan. No, that is discouraging. I don't know how many of you understand this, how discouraging it can be that after you finish praying, I should be seeing angels flying in front of me. But the next thing was Satan coming to, how can Satan come 40 days? I will go back to that mountain and ask, did you actually answer my prayers? But how do I know God answers your prayers is the reaction you receive after the prayers. The devil shows up to try to discourage you that whatever you've heard from God is not true. Amen. But the question is that, Satan, why are you so interested if it's not true? When do you start being a good Satan? Amen. I want you to bring forth again. The Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? Until Zion travail, there's a traveling. I know there is someone here, you have a destiny to bring forth. And you must bring it forth. In another 60 seconds, I want you to pray in the spirit. Lord, what you have for me, I bring them forth. I am not in this life to waste it. I am not an afterthought. There is a destiny, there is a prophecy on my life that need to manifest this season. And in this season, I bring forth into that word. I break forth into. You see, you need to understand that you are not in this world to just come and eat food and die. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or to just come and walk, make some few change, live in a house, suffer from the cold and the snow, and now die and go to heaven. Is that why you were born? No, you are born to make a difference. Say, I'm born to make a difference. I have a destiny on my life. So there's something you need to understand it, that you have to break forth. Number three, you need to know that when it comes to fulfilling destiny, there is no age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham was 75 years old, still living with his father, until God drove him out. Amen. I think it's 18 years here, they will drive you out from the house. Is he 18 years yet? But 75 years old, he should be a grandfather. Some of you are still 18, but you're still with your parents. God bless you. Your parents are kind. But you say, 75 years, God says to Abraham, to fulfill destiny, this location cannot manifest it. You need to move out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There must be a breaking forth. Hallelujah. I am destined to fulfill destiny. And every time you have a prophecy on your life, this is one of the things you must understand. And this is going to help you, because we're going to pray a little bit more. And I will show you what God wants us to do, and we'll begin to push it again in prayers. I love praying because I've seen where prayer works. Amen. I've seen prayer works. Even when I don't even believe, I've seen where God answers prayers. So we serve a God that answers prayers. Whether you believe it or not, I know. Whether you amen it or not, I know. Sometimes you say amen to encourage God. No, God is God by himself. Amen. If there is a prophecy on your life, if you have a prophecy on your life when you were 20 years, and you've not fulfilled the prophecy and now you are 60 years, in the eyes of God, you are still 20 until the prophecy is fulfilled. You stop aging in the spirit until your prophecy comes to pass. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, Caleb said to Joshua, I was 40 years old when they said to me that the promised land belongs to me. And when the promises came 45 years later, he said, I am still as strong as when it was given to me, because God is faithful to his promise. It is because you live in this world, you are counting age. In the realm of the spirit, your prophecy still kept you at that 20. That is why when your prophecy comes, it says it renew your age like that of an eagle. So many of you are still 15 years old since your prophecy. So it's time to fulfill prophecy. Say, it's time to fulfill my prophecy. Say, every word of the Lord on my life is time to manifest. Say, in the name of Jesus, I break forth into my prophecies. Now says, every gate be lifted. Now say, like a child of God, every gate be lifted. Now one more time, shout, every gate be lifted. In the name of Jesus. You may sit in God's presence. We come back to praying again. We are still dealing with gate. Now we are dealing with the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers are personality that mounts gate and determine the control of what comes into the gate and what goes out to the gate. It's so interesting in Joshua chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 1, for 40 years, the children of Israel were on the journey to come into the promises of God for their life. And for 40 years, now for 40 years, because it was never God's intention for them to spend 40 years to reach where they are going to. But their language delayed them, because what you say, like I said last night, determines how far you go in life. In Numbers chapter 13, the Bible says that Moses sent the 12 spies to go into the land to spy the land. Is somebody hearing me? And when they went into the land to spy the land, the Bible says they came back with a bad report. 10 of the spies says they came back when they got to the promise. They saw all the land and they said, Moses, truly the land floweth with milk and honey as God has said. Number 2, the land is full of grapes, and the grapes are juicy and so good. The land is so good. And everything God says about this land is right. But there was something that they came back with. If God says that the land is flowing with milk and honey, and the place is blessed, you say, but I don't think God wants to give us, because in that land there are giants. And it says the walls are high till they get to the heavens. Really? The walls are to the heaven. Do you know how you exaggerate when you are afraid? Praise God. It says the sons of Anak are there, and the inhabitants of the land heat up themselves. And above all, you know what they said? It says, we are like grasshoppers. Your enemies didn't call you what you call yourself. So why giving your fear names? Praise God. It says, we are like grasshoppers. Do you know one of the most terrible thing about fear is that it doesn't have memories? It is faith that have memory. How do I know? There's something you should know and never in your life forget what I'm trying to tell you. And this is one of the things I want you to put at the back of your mind. Faith will always remember past victories. What did I say? Faith will always remember past what? Victories, because faith has memory. Your faith must always remember how far God has brought you. And if God has brought you this far, he will never leave you. Oh, if somebody hear what I'm saying. You must understand that you survived so much that would have destroyed you, but God brought you this far. If your faith can think, then your victory is in front of you. Hallelujah. How can God bring you this far to put you to shame? No, that is not the will of God. So the Bible says that if they forgot how God gave them victory in Egypt. Look at the plagues, how God defeated Pharaoh. The Bible says also they came before the Red Sea and the sea was divided. How can you forget that kind of thing? And the sea was divided and you walked through a dry ground. How can you forget that kind of thing? If that same God is not faithful to his promise, he fed you. Angels were cooking for you. Oh my God, I wish I have angels cooking for me. My God, I will not anymore eat human food. Angels were cooking for them in the wilderness. The Bible says when it was very cold, the Lord surrounded them with heater and they were warm. And when it was very hot, the Lord surrounded them with an air conditioning. How much can you expect God's faithfulness? The Lord was defending them from their enemies. Why? Because look at all what God was doing just to fulfill his promises for you to get into the promised land. Now, they sent you to go and spy the land. And to the spying of the land is to bring inspiration. And so that you will be so expectant and be joyful, because faith, the excitement of faith is a proof you've received it. Hallelujah. That is why when sometimes I ask you to thank God when we finish praying, thanking God after prayers is not to end the prayers, is to express that you believe what you have prayed. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? So they got to the land and they saw, oh my God, they forgot everything. Fear makes you murmur. If you complain, you remain. No wonder God says in Psalm 100, he says that come into his presence with what? Come to his gate with what? Thanksgiving. And to his court with praise. So God have a gate. You know why they put gate? For? Because they don't want an intruder to come in. I guess God put the gate for Nigerians, because Nigerians can just get into anywhere, you know. I don't know. But he says, come into his gate. So the gate of God, the code to open the gate of God, praise God, is what? Thanksgiving. Then he said, come into his court with complaining. Is that what he said? Psalm 100 verse 3, 4. It says, come into his what? His court singing. The natural court in the human court is to come complaining because you have cases. But he said, come into his court singing. God hates complainers. When you complain, it's a worship song to Satan. That is why the Bible says we should praise him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Bible says these people got into, they saw the promised land and they began to give their fear names. And they said that the enemies never called them grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. So you see that they become what they are saying. And in chapter 14 of Numbers, God said that as you have said in my ears, so shall it be. Since you say you are grasshoppers, and they went to spy the land, and they were in the land for 40 days, spying the land, seeing the goodness of God, and the Bible said they brought bad reports. Sometimes if you listen to too much negative things, they discourage your heart. So they came back 40 years and said, we are not able to go. That is why you should never listen to any negative opinions of people about you. It is what God says about you that will stand. Hallelujah. Whatever God says about me, we stand. Amen. It doesn't matter what anyone says concerning you. What God says concerning you, we stand. Say what God says concerning me. We stand. The promises of God, the plans of God concerning me is good. Hallelujah. So they came back and God was angry. I did all of these things and you forgot? And the Bible explained to us in Psalm 103, it says we should not forget his benefits. Do not forget. Fear makes you forget God's goodness. How good God has been all these years. Fear makes you forget it. But long story short, the Bible says, they say we are not able to go. God brought us this far to kill us. So you mean God went through all killing, dealing with pharaohs and all of the 10 plagues in Egypt, dividing the Red Sea just to come kill you? He didn't kill you in the wilderness when it's convenient. At least he would have kept you hungry. That is the easiest way to kill you. And he was providing for you. Now, just to bring you, you say God brought you this far to kill you. You want to go back to eat cucumber and onions? You see what fear can do. Fear will always make you feel that it is a good old days. But faith says the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Your past can never be better than your future. It doesn't matter how much your past was. Your future is better than your past. Your best days are here. Your best days are ahead of you. You cannot get into your best days looking the past. God has given you victory from yesterday. It is time to step into what God has designed for you. It is your season. Thank God that as you are coming to the end of 2025, coming into the new year and all of that, you are walking into a new season. You will be glad you stay alive in the name of Jesus Christ. And all your mockers will begin to see the goodness of God upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen if you're a child of God. So the Bible says they said that we cannot. And God said one thing. God said, because you spied the land in 40 days and you came back with bad report, I am going to do something. I'm going to make each day become 1 year. So you can imagine that God can make 1 day become 1 year. So your journey of 1 day becomes 1 year. So you're going to spend 40 years. And Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 2, 3, and 4, the Bible says that between Kadesh Barnea, which was the edge of the Red Sea, all the way to the promised land was 11 days journey. But fear made the journey extended. Amen. It was 11 days, but it took them 40 years. Oh my God, 40 years. Why? Because of wrong language, because of speaking the wrong things. Do you know that saying the wrong things can delay God from manifesting? Words are powerful. Hallelujah. Just saying the wrong things. But anyway, this is what I want to take you to somewhere, because we're going to pray tonight again, you know. And the Bible says it took them 40 years. And by the end of the 40 years, the Bible says they got into the promised land. Amen. Every one of them that spoke the negative words could not even come into the promised land. So they got into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, they came to the promise of God. Amen. Now, thank God for God. Amen. How can I take a journey for 40 years, God? And I came to where you promised, and the place was locked. How discouraging can it be that I came to where you promised me, and when I came into that spot, it was locked? Have you ever come to God's promise and found that it doesn't look like it? Praise God. You know, sometimes God can tell you that in your dream that this is your wife or your husband. and you get close to the man or to the woman, and like, it doesn't look like what God promised. Praise God. Oh my God. God gave you a word and said, this is the word. And you get to the word and find out, oh God, are you sure, God, you're the one that told me to come to this place? Because that doesn't look like what God can say. So they came all the way to the promised land and found out that it was not looking like what God said, because it was locked. But look at what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now you need to understand the gate wasn't locked because it needed to be locked. The Bible said Jericho was strictly shut up. Did you see that? It was not shut up because of anybody, but because of who carried the promise. The devil wants to discourage you because you carry the promise. Hallelujah. I think I'm talking to somebody today because there is somebody that is being discouraged and wondering if God is still alive. And I'm here to tell you that you are close to your miracle. You don't have to be discouraged because God is still alive. And God is going to bring you to that spot. If the devil does not contend with you, then there is no promise in your life. I want to let you know, if you ever forget anything, don't forget that Satan is only attracted to you because of the hand of God. The hand of God on your life is what attracts Satan to your life. That is why the devil is fighting you so bad and trying to do everything possible to make sure you are discouraged, because there is the hand of God upon you and you will fulfill your destiny. The Bible says Jericho was locked. Look at it. Because of the children of Israel. Not because of anybody, but because of the ones they promise. Sometimes the people that fight you understand where God is taking you to. Because of them. But there was something interesting in verse 2 God said to Joshua. The first word God said to Joshua was see. Remember the mental faith? Amen. Do you remember the picture of faith we spoke about yesterday evening? That faith has a picture. The first word he said, he said what? See. And the Lord said unto Joshua, do what? See. I know it's locked, but see. Don't see what the devil has done. Don't see how high the wall is. Don't see the circumstances and the storm. See the promise. Oh, my God. Is somebody getting something I'm saying? He used the word see. 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 He says, see, I have given into your hand. Oh, my God. I have given into your hand Jericho. Means the systems I've given. He didn't show him that, you see, the wall is high, the gate is locked. No, he says, see inside. What can you see? See. Oh, my God. I see myself blessed. I see myself healed. I see myself doing great. Amen. I want you to encourage your neighbor sitting by yourself. Say, I see the blessings of God on you. Amen. Now look at the blessings around you. Say, I have the blessings of God. Are you talking to the person? Tell the person, you better treat me right. I might be your boss tomorrow. Amen. Yes, you better treat your neighbor right. He might pay your bills tomorrow, you know. Praise God. Because there is the blessings of God. He said to him, see. I see Jericho. He says, I have put into your hand. If you can see it, Joshua, I've put it in your hand. Joshua will be like, hey, he put it in my hand. It's not in my bank account. He put it in my hand, but look at me. I'm still look at my life. No, if you can see it, if you can see it, the enemy's assignment is to close the gate. And these gates are controls of demonic spirit, just to make sure that you don't come into the promise. But you see, I am seeing my victory because Christ said it is finished. So I'm seeing it, Satan, no matter what you are doing, I'm seeing my victory. I am not fighting for victory. I am fighting from victory. I am standing from the victory point, and I am seeing that it is done. I can see it. Satan, no matter what you are doing, you are wasting your time, because I can see the blessings of God. I can see. He says, I've put into your hand Jericho. I can see the promotion. I can see the job. I can see the healing. I can see the miracle. Everything might be saying otherwise, but I can see it. Oh, Marasaka Shandayaba. I can see the blessings. I can see the miracle. Sometimes Satan said, you've been seeing it for 5 years. I can still see it. And it will come to pass. You've been seeing it for 10 years. I can still see it. It will come to pass. Why? First, I think Second Corinthians 1:20 says, the promises of God are yes and amen. I can see. I can see. Jericho was locked. And sometimes when it's locked, it looks so painful, because when the gate is locked, it affects the systems on the inside. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible says that the Syrians, they went and locked the gate. The Assyrians locked the gate. And there was so much scarcity. Remember, I told you that your gate will be open continually. We want to deal with who locked the gate. That's why I'm talking about seeing. Hallelujah. He said, it came to pass after Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered at the host and went up and beseeched Samaria. Verse next, the Bible said, when they besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine, and a famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a hair's head was sold for a false call pieces of silver. They besieged it, and there was scarcity. There was scarcity in their life. There was scarcity in the city. The Bible says it was so bad that people were buying the dungs of those. And the head of Hanas, money failed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says some women started, they were so bad, it was so bad that some women began to boil their babies. Imagine you're cooking your own baby to eat. It was that bad. You forgot the pain of 9 months. And sometimes you just look at your baby and like, oh my God, you look like suya. You know. Many of you don't know what suya is, but barbecue. Imagine you wake up in the morning and look at your son and like, oh my God, you smell barbecue. Amen. But it was that bad. Then that was chapter 6. Chapter 6, the number 6 is the number of man and is the best of men. Hallelujah. It was bad because it was cast. But I thank God for chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 1, there was a word of God said, by this time tomorrow. Oh my God. 7 is the number of God. 7 is the number of perfection. 7 is the number of God's influence. 7 is the number of God coming into your life. 6 might be terrible. My God, many of you should, maybe you are in chapter 6, but God said this is the end of yourself. Because when man comes to the end of himself, God will come to himself. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. When man says, is the end, God says, a bend. You might be in chapter 6 of your life, but there is a chapter 7 by this time tomorrow. God is perfecting something in somebody's life. In the name of Jesus, are you receiving the dossier, the Lord, right now? Because I'm speaking to you, because you have to see. See. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I see. What are you seeing? The blessing. What are you seeing? The promotion. What are you seeing? The lifting. What are you seeing? The peace of God. What are you seeing? Your healing. What are you seeing? The grace of God manifesting. What are you seeing? The nations of the world. He said, see. Let's go back to Joshua. He says, see, I've given you the land. What you want to do today is that God, you will remove every personality, whatever is standing between God and my promises, between me, God's promises on my life. I speak to those systems to be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I have given you Jericho. Somebody say Jericho. Number two, he says, see, I have given you the kings, which is the authority of the system. Number three, I have given you the mighty man of valor, which are the people that have the resources. Today, I want to ask the Lord to break open every gate that look as if you are not fulfilling the promise of God in your life. In the name of the living God. Somebody say, I see the blessings. And like a child of God, say, I see the blessing. Now, somebody like a child of God, say, I see the blessing. Whatever God has said concerning you, we are going to speak to it. So, but Jericho was locked because of the children of Israel. Now, who is this gatekeepers? People that speaks negatively into your life. Some of you grew up hearing the bad things about yourself. Hallelujah. And we want to cancel whatever has been spoken. Whatever anyone have said and it makes you believe that was true must be canceled. I am not what you call me. I am what God calls me. I am what who God says I am. Sometimes you grew up with a father or a mother telling you you are stupid. You are just a mistake. You are not a good person. You are not. But that is not the word of God for you. You are better than what anyone says concerning you. Hallelujah. So who spoke into your life and now look as if what they say is happening to your life? They made you believe yourself that you are not. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he grew up hearing his teacher said to him that he's stupid and he's not better, he's not good. Oh my God. So he grew up in school hearing all of the negative things until he began to listen to what I said, the word of God. Now God has helped him and God has blessed him. But he allowed the word of God because he started living like what his teacher told him. That every day he goes to school and says, you cannot pass. You are not good in this life. You are not better off. And he began to believe what he said. He began to believe what the teacher said. Sometimes you believe what you say, what the enemy said concerning you. By God's grace, counsel today, because God sent me to let you know that what your enemy told you is not who you are. Even what your finances is telling you is not who you are. Even you are not what your mistakes tells you. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? Because I have come to believe with God, every mess has a message. Every mistake commands a miracle. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? If you can receive the word of the Lord today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and this is where we're going to pray. Say in the name of Jesus, lift you and say in the name of Jesus. Every negative word spoken into my life by any man or woman, dead or alive, I counsel them. I am not what they call me. I am what God says I am. In the name of Jesus Christ, every word spoken by the enemy, any man or woman, I counsel it. Say amen. Amen. That is the gate we want to deal with the negative words spoken to your life. So many people have received words that is not them. And God did not tell you that. But you see, somehow we've received it because they feel like an authority over us. And it looks as if what they are saying looks good. And it looks as if we are aligning our life. Today, what God wants you to do is to cancel those words because you will no longer become what is said about you. Oh, say amen to that. Amen. The Bible says, and the Lord said, now let's go to First Chronicle now. Let's focus on First Chronicle chapter 4, verse 9. First Chronicle chapter 4, verse 9. This was a story of a man that we want to pray. That is why I'm saying that we are going to cancel every word. Amen. Now, I want you to say to yourself, I am better than this. You're not sure? One more time. One more time. Say, I have greatness on the inside of me. I am called to fulfill destiny. I am great. Born to be great. Fulfilling greatness. Coming to manifestation. The goodness of God. Amen. The Bible says that there was a man. His name was called Jabez. His mother gave him the word Jabez because of the situation. He was born in pain. The Bible says his mother called him Jabez because of the way, the circumstances that surrounds how he was born. Do you know how much sometimes people put their pain on you and makes you suffer for what they should suffer from? Hallelujah. Sometimes people excuse their pain and put you in that situation because of their conditions. And many times you now carry the burdens of somebody else's battles. You are not going through some situation that God did not design for you because somebody has put it on you, make you believe you are the reason why they went through hell. Make you believe that you are the reason why they are going through what they are going through. And make you feel as if you are a mistake. Oh my God, I'm not a mistake. Shout it loud, I'm not a mistake. Oh my God, one more time, shout, I'm not a mistake. Because so many people want to relieve themselves from their pain by putting their pain on their kids, on you. And so every time you walk around thinking that you are the reason why this happened, but I am not the reason. Jeremiah 1:5, God told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew thee and I've ordained you. So for the fact you came through your parents, wasn't your parents were just the channel you came through. They were not your creator. So don't put your pain on me because I came through. You were just a vessel wherewith I came through. Oh, I wish you understand. That is why I don't allow people blame their parents for what they go through. Don't blame anyone. They were instruments. You have a destiny to fulfill. He said, before your mother said, I do to your father. And before your mother said yes to your father, your mother said no or yes to your father or one thing or the other. He says, I knew thee. You might have been born out of wedlock, but there can be an illegal marriage, but there's no illegal child. If God doesn't want you here, you shouldn't have come. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe your father and mother didn't get married, but you were born. That is okay. That was a channel God used. So let them not use their mistake and put it on you and make you feel you're a mistake. Shout it loud, I'm not a mistake. I'm not a mistake. You're not even convinced. Hallelujah. He says, I knew thee and have ordained thee, have sanctified thee, I have commanded these blessings upon you. So even before your father and mother was thinking whether they should get married or not, I knew thee. The word knew means I have an intimacy with you. It's from the Hebrew word yada. I knew thee, I'm in touch with you. If I can make you understand fully what God is trying to reach out to your spirit, you will live here with so much confidence to go succeed at any cost. In the name of Jesus Christ. This confidence will so much be in your life that you are going to, I feel it strongly that in the next few weeks, things will begin to change around you. My God, you begin to become confident of yourself. You begin to become what God said, because we are breaking the curse. Somebody say, I'm breaking the curse. Breaking the curse. Hallelujah. So we go back to Jabez. Jabez began to carry this pain in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez became a child of pain. The word Jabez means the bringer of pain or the carrier of shame. How can a woman look at a child and give it a name? Stop causing your crisis. You look at the pain and say, this is pain, this is pain, this is a bringer of pain. Jabez was born in the family of kings. The Bible says he came from the tribe of Judah. Judahs are people that are potential kings. They are born to rule. They are born to have advantage. They are born to dominate. They are born to have control. But because of what his mother said concerning him, he crippled all the virtues around him. He crippled everything that he should have become because somebody put a stamp on your life and put a limitation. Now you are no longer becoming what you should become because you now believe what they told you. You now believe it. I was looking at the life of Jacob, you know. The meaning of Jacob means a deceiver. Is that correct? Jacob means a deceiver, yes or yes? How can a child that has not deceived anybody from the womb, you call him deceiver? And the guy grew up to believe that he was a deceiver. Until he met an angel, and the angel said, "What is your name?" He said, "Well, what they call me is a deceiver." I said, "No, that was not what God gave you. You are a prince. But somebody changed it. Your parents changed it in the womb and call you deceiver." Oh, somebody say, "I'm not what they call me. I am better than this. Every curse I declare that has limited your life, curse from your generation, curse in the family, with your amen, that curse is broken today. Every curse that crippled your father, crippled your grandfather. Every curse that crippled your mother, crippled your grandmother, crippled your uncles and your auntie, in the name of Jesus, is broken from your life. I declare that those pronouncements is terminated in the name of Jesus." Jabez began to produce pain and he grew up. The Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable. Was more honorable. He was a child of honor, but he cannot express honor. He was a child of visibility, but yet he was hidden. He was a child that carried the virtue and the capacity of result, but yet cannot see his effort producing result for him. He was a child that was intelligent, but his intelligence is not helping him. He was full of wisdom, but his wisdom find no expression. And he was wondering, what is this? But his mother said, "Even though you have honor, I put a limit on you. Instead of you to produce honor, produce shame, produce pain. So anywhere you go, you will produce pain instead of honor." The devil is a liar. That curse will be broken on anyone today. Because you are leaving this room, going to that world there and tell the world, "I am a new person in the name of Jesus Christ, and I will fulfill what God has destined me to fulfill." Say amen if you're a child of God. Jabez, because his mother said, "I gave you sorrow. I put pain on you because of the circumstances. Why will you put on a child your own battle? Why will you curse a future that God has given to you because of what you're going through?" But let's go quickly, because I love what Jabez did. Instead of Jabez moving around complaining and seeing what it is, I said, "Well, it's not my fault. My mother did this to me. My father did this to me." Because you need to understand that no matter what anyone do, you have to take the responsibility to say, "You know what? I bring it to an end." Whatever you don't deal with, you transfer to your children. Hallelujah. Once you cannot fight it, you must tell yourself, "It must end with me." Say, "It must end with me." One more time, say, "It must end with me." One more time, say, "It must end with me." Just make up your mind. In verse 10, the Bible says Jabez began to pray. And this is one of the most important things. And Jabez called upon the name of the Lord. We must understand that God is a God that answers prayers. We serve a God that answers prayers. It's so interesting, Psalm 66, verse 19 and verse 20. Profound word of God shows us the mercy of God. It says, "God, thanks be to God who has not taken his ears away from our prayer." Psalm 66, verse 19. So we are going to be working on some prayers now because I want to, some scriptures right now as we flow. Look at it. It says, "Blessed be God which had not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from what? From me." Amen. Look at verse 19. "Blessed be God who has not turned his ears away from my prayers." Amen. He said, "But But verily, God had heard me. Somebody say, God heard. So we serve a God that hears. God heard. He had attended to the voice of what? My prayer. So we serve a God that answers prayer. Say, I serve a God that answers prayers. One more time. Say, I serve a God that answers prayer. Every prayer you pray today, God will answer you. In the name of Jesus Christ. God answers prayers. We serve that mighty God that answers prayers. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12. The Bible says that when we go to pray, he will hear us. Jeremiah 29, 12. God listens to prayer. He hears prayers. He said, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. One more time, say, God answers prayers. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, say, call upon me, and I will answer you. Call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen. Call upon me and I will do what? Answer you. Call unto me, I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things. Hallelujah. I love what Isaiah 65 verse 24 says. He said, before you call, I have answered you. While we are still yet praying, God says, I have heard. Isaiah 65 and 24, you look at it, it says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will what? I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will what? I will hear. 1 John 5 and 14 says, this is the confidence we have. This is the confidence we have that when we pray. Amen. 1 John 5 and 14. This is the confidence. Somebody say, it's a confidence. Oh, say like a child, say, it's a confidence. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything, when we do what? Ask anything according to his will. He what? He heareth us. Verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. I have no doubt that God hears prayers. So every prayer I pray, I know God will answer them. Oh my God, I wish you understand that God answers prayer. So whatever we are praying today, just believe that God is going to answer. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. One more time, say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. In Mark 11 and verse 24, it says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, do what? Believe. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have what? Receive them, and you shall what? You shall have them. You shall have whatsoever you believe. Luke 18, 1 says, men always ought to pray and not what? To faint. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. I pray for you, receive grace to prayers. Amen. One more time, say, receive grace to pray. Amen. One more time, receive grace to pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Receive grace to pray. Let's go back to Jabez in 1 Chronicles. Say them, Jabez pray. Jabez call upon God. That is one of the things I want you to know, that when believers pray, God intervenes. My God, there is power in prayers. And Jabez call upon the God of Israel. So the answer between you and where you are going to is to pray. We are going to break every curse. We are going to cancel every pronouncement. Whoever made the pronouncement is canceled. Jabez's mother prayed. He never looked at the mother and blamed the mother. He says, my mother would have spoken it, but I'm going to speak to God to reverse what has been said. Tonight we are declaring whatever anyone said against you, and it looks as if it has placed an embargo on your life, is reversed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He called upon the Lord. And this was his prayers. And Jabez called upon the Lord. Now the first, he said, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Means he was under a curse. What does it mean to be cursed? To be cursed means to be empowered to fail. When a man is under a curse, anything you touch will not work. You're empowered to fail. So he said that you will bless me. Because even though I am gifted, even though I am honorable, look at what was happening. I am not seeing the result. I am intelligent, but yet no proof. I have all it takes to be visible, but yet no proof. There is a limitation. Lord, remove the curse from my life, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What does it mean to be blessed? To be empowered to succeed. I want to succeed in what I'm doing. I want to succeed in everything. You know, when a man is blessed, location does not determine your result. Do you get what I say? I say it again. When a man is blessed, location does not determine your result. Have you seen a blessed man? Put the man anywhere. You don't struggle to be in a position in an office. Anywhere they put you, the blessing comes there. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. And Isaac wanted to run away. And God says, don't run away, because once you are blessed, anywhere you find yourself, that place will be blessed. It is not the location that determines the blessing. It is who you are. Anywhere the king sits is a throne. You didn't get what I just said. But you say, when you get home, just repeat, go back and watch it again. But you see, the blessings of God came. The Bible says, and Isaac wanted to run. And God says, no, I'm going to bless you. And in verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land that was famine. And in the same year, the Bible says he reaped an hundredfold. Hundredfold. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. Look at somebody and say, you are blessed sitting by me. The blessings are not just physical material things. It's an empowerment that produces the physical material things. Once you are blessed, anything you touch is blessed. Every door you knock is open. Everywhere you enter, you are favored. Something gracious follows you everywhere you go. In the name of Jesus, I see some blessed people, and I release the blessings of God. You are blessed in the morning. You are blessed in the evening. You are blessed when you go out. You are blessed when you come in. You are blessed in the day. You are blessed in the night. The blessings of God is upon you. Your children are blessed. Your family is blessed. The work of your hand is blessed. Your career is blessed. Somebody shout, I am blessed. You're blessed. Empower to succeed. And Jabez prayed and says, God, empower me to succeed. I know they spoke at my gate and says that I will bring pain. But God, you can reverse it. You can reverse the curse. Oh my God, the blessings is what is needed. Oh my God, the blessings will reverse every curse. That thou wouldest bless me indeed. God said to Abraham, I will bless you. Give him 7 distinct miracles of the blessing. And one of the blessings says, I will empower you that who curse you is cursed, and who bless you is blessed. Everywhere you go, nations will look towards you. I feel that there is a king rising among us. Amen. There are blessings. God is raising people here. That the kingdom of God will enjoy the advantage because God is putting blessings in your life. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ, because you are here today, the blessings rest in your house. The blessings rest on your children. The blessings rest in your businesses. The blessings rest in your career. The blessings of God is upon you. One more time, declare, let every devil hear you, I am blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jabez prayed and says that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Number 2, because we are going to pray soon, he says, not only bless me, he said that thou wouldest bless me, he says, enlarge my course. What does that mean? Break me from limitations. I want to do better than what I'm doing now. Increase me time 8,000 times. Lord, increase me. Bless me better than this. Enlarge my course. I break to the right, to the left. God never put limit on anyone. He says the limit your mom put on you, I am breaking loose. Somebody say enlarge. How many of you know that God is a God of enlargement? He never puts limit on you. You've been on the same level for a long time, going through the circle for a long time. No, it is time to expand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I pray for one person here? I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. that doors beyond your abilities are opening for you. God is expanding you to the right, expanding you to the left, expanding you all around. There is an expansion coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you are not receiving it. Should I pray for those watching online? I say God is expanding you on every side. Shout it, I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe it. There's enlargement. There's enlargement. You've been on one spot for a long time, but God wants to give you. Some of you are coming. I just feel right now the real estate anointing coming on somebody. My God, properties anointing coming upon someone. I am releasing it. I feel that anointing right now. God will begin to give you privilege of buying properties right now. Now, you're not buying properties with market price. You're buying it with Jesus price. Oh, my God, I wish somebody is receiving the grace right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the real estate anointing is coming upon somebody. If you're receiving it, man, now let the blessings come upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh my God, the real estate grace is coming upon you. You are buying properties on every side. God is giving you the wisdom, the insight, the foresight to begin to get the reason. The property anointing right now, in the name of the living God, you are buying properties in Winnipeg, in Vancouver, in Toronto, in Alberta, in every area. God is bringing opportunities. The doors are opening for you. The real estate anointed, who is receiving it right now? It's enlarging you. There's an enlargement coming. Oh my God, I feel some anointing hitting me right now. Whatever they've said about you, God is about to shock the people that spoke. There is a grace. There is a grace coming on you. He says, enlarge my coast. The Bible says that the Lord shall uproot the peg that was placed. It says, enlarge to the left and enlarge to the right. My God, many of you are about to receive blessings that you don't have room enough. It's time to break. It's time to break. It's time. Somebody say, I'm breaking limitations. Oh, my God. Somebody say, I'm crossing the lines. I'm breaking barriers. I'm crossing the lines. I'm breaking barriers. Oh, you are praying already. Say, I'm crossing the lines. I'm breaking barriers in the name of Jesus. I'm crossing the lines. Territorial influence. You will no longer be small. In Jesus' name. He told him, he says, you bless me. Number two, he says, enlarge me. Give me influence beyond me. Number three, prayers of Jabez. Look at what he said. Not only enlarge my cause, that your hand might be upon me. When the hand of God is upon your life, it commands divine favor. The favor of God is what you need to reach out. The favor of God is what you need to catch up with wasted years. There are many of you, you've lost time, you lost years, you lost opportunities, you lost resources. It takes favor to get it back. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, one of the things it does is that people pay attention to you. The hand of God, the hand of God. The hand of God is so potent that is what is required for you. Because you need to understand that the age you have now, your age, if we calculate it and want to follow the normal process, you're already late. Praise God. But it takes the favor of God to crush time for you. The favor of God. It takes the favor of God to bring who carry all your years on the inside of them. There is a man, there is a woman that carry your 10 years inside of them. Meeting them makes you recover all your wasted years. It is the favor of God. The favor of God that makes people speak to kings for your sake. Favor of God that makes people speak in a room where you are not. It is the favor of God that is required for you to catch up what others take years to get. You get in a moment. Exodus 3:21, God said, I will give them favor in the sight of the Egyptians, that they will get all of it. It takes one day of favor to recover a 430 years of labor. One day of favor, worth more than 100 years of labor. Whatever you have today, you need favor to double it up. I wish you understand what favor can do. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. You can be gifted and not lifted. It takes favor. It takes favor. I have seen gifted men that struggled. You can be anointed and still be frustrated. It takes favor. It takes favor to command the doors to be opened. He says, I will give them favor in the eyes of the Egyptian. When you are favored, people go out of their way to make you happy. People, they inconvenience themselves. My God. You see, in this world we are living, it takes favor to fulfill destiny. In this world we are living. We are living in a world of wickedness. It takes favor to touch the heart of men. Naturally, people don't want to pay attention to anybody. Everybody wants to mind their business. So you don't need to beg men. You need to be favored by men. Because the more you beg people, the more they ignore you. Have you ever seen where you call somebody, you send them texts, you even send them prayers? You say, God will bless you. You say, okay. You send them all kind of things, but they don't pay attention to you. But when you are favored, oh my God. In Exodus chapter 11, the Bible says, when God favored the children of Israel, the Bible says they went to begin to ask the Egyptians to bring their gold and their resources. They were given to them. And that was the wrongest time to ask, because how can you ask somebody to bless you when he's mourning their son? Their first child just died. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for you, naturally, like, oh, this is not the right time to ask. They just lost their child. You know, and I'm not going to ask them to help me. But when favor is on your life, it doesn't matter what their situation looks like. They will answer you because you are favored. Amen. Oh, I wish you understand the favor of God. The Bible says in Psalm 5, verse 12, it says, for the Lord shall bless the righteous, and with favor will he encompass them like a shield. You need favor. That is what Jabez was praying for. For thou will bless the righteous with favor, will he encompass. Somebody say, I receive the favor of God. My God, no matter what you are doing, your skills, you are looking for job. It takes favor to give you what you're not qualified for. Psalm 44 verse 3 said something very profound. That they didn't get the land because they were powerful. They didn't get the land because of their sword. They didn't get the property. He said it was the favor of God that gave it to them. Hallelujah. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. My God, it is not everything you sweat to get. No, not everything you sweat to get. There are some things that should come to you because you are favored. If you sweat for everything, your life is delayed. You need to catch up with wasted years by favor. Oh my God. Why do I feel somebody is going to receive cars you can't buy? You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You look as if God is talking to me. Since you're not receiving it, maybe God is speaking to me. They didn't get this land by their sword. Neither did their own hand save them. But the right hand and the hand and the light of the covenant, because thou hast favored them. You get it by favor. Can I pray that real estate anointing one more time? I stretch my hand before God and I declare upon this house, properties anointing, real estate anointing, by the favor of God. My God, you are going to pay for that house completely in the name of Jesus Christ. You are no longer in debt over your property. My God, complete. You are paying them off in the name of Jesus. How God will do it is called favor. Don't imagine how it will do. Favor is coming upon you. You are buying properties. You are paying off your own properties. You are buying where you are living in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you are said, amen, to receive the favor of God.
Spirit, when I was in the back there, told me that you, when you receive, it's like an infilling. Your body is, or your spirit, your soul, is the vessel that has to be filled. And when you receive from above, when you receive from the preachers, the prophets that come to this place, you need to fill, get a filling, an infilling. And then filling so deep, you got to grasp everything that they say. Take it and walk with it. Take it and use it as your guide and force it into your life. Give it strength every moment of the day. Because when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that happens is the devil sees you there and he wants to stop you, but you need to stop him. You're in control. This is what it's about. You take control of your destiny through Jesus Christ. And he is a destiny helper. And each and every one of us are destiny helpers as well. And as we go and help each other to find our destiny, to continue in our destiny, and to do our destiny, you know what? The will of God happens. And that's what it's all about. It's God's will, God's plan, God who has a perfect destiny, a perfect, something perfect for you, a perfect life. All good and perfect things come from above. So therefore, when you, it's that perfect thing that you want to grasp. God is so good. God wants to bless each and every one of us, from the young ones to the eldest. God has destiny for everybody. If you're still here on earth, you have something that God wants you to do. And when there's enough, when you've had enough and you ask God, take me away, you don't die from sickness either. I know so many people who don't die from sickness because they had a destiny that they enforced. And that destiny is also that your health, that you shall be in health, perfect health, in the perfect will of God. There's three positions you can be. You can be out of the will of God. You can be that's your own will. Okay, my will, that should not be done. Because most of the time, it's out of the will of God. And then there's the permitted will of God, where you beg God, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's still your own will, but God allows it because he's a good God. He wants to show you that he loves you. And he will do that. He will keep you in that area if that's what you desire. But then there's the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God is where you're in a different atmosphere. The atmosphere that God wants you to be in. This atmosphere brings favor. This atmosphere brings, you pray for the sick and they shall recover. Okay, shall means that I can see a futuristic something to shall, because there's a preparation as well. You shall lay on the sick. He prepares you to know how to pray. He prepares you to know scripture. He prepares you to build yourself in your spirit. And then you go out and you lay hands on the sick, and the sick are healed. You pray to God upon yourself, and things happen. The devil leaves. You have power over every demon on earth through Jesus Christ. Never under your own power, but through Jesus Christ. And that's the empowerment that God wants you and I to walk in. Destiny, destiny, destiny. What is your destiny? And God has prophesied through these people, pastor and this man, he prophesied many things on, I would say, almost everybody in this place. And, well, he did prophesy on everybody in this place, because what he spoke tonight, he was speaking to each and every one of us. It is for every one of us. These words were prophetic from God. And you need to pick it up and use it. So learn about where you're supposed to go. be a destiny helper for somebody, because your neighbor needs, he has a destiny too. Help them out. Keep on moving and get into the perfect will of God, not just your own will. And God will bless you totally. He will bring favor into your life, blessings into your life. And we pray for blessings all the time upon people, because that destroys the works of the devil. The devil does not like blessings. He likes curses. So we don't receive those curses. Every curse is from our past, from our generations, the generation curses, those are gone. They're not for you or me. So now, if those are gone, you're going to have victory. Victory over your destiny. Because that's the beginning. When you destroy those curses, those things that the devil doesn't want you to do, and you do the will of God, you can say, hallelujah, I have victory. And tonight, you have received it, and you need to walk in it. You need to be blessed and bless people. And also, there's some people that made promises or commitments to this prophet, and that needs to be honored. And I pray that you honor it, find a way to do it, or begin to do it if you don't have it all. Because that seed means a lot. He needs to continue. He needs to use it for ministering. And he's a man of God, and you want to bless him. You want to help him. You are part of the destiny helper that he needs. And fulfill your destiny towards him. He fulfilled his towards you. So now it's our turn. If you haven't done it yet, do it. And if you haven't made a commitment on what to give, just do one. Give him something. And you will be blessed for it, because God promises to bless those who give, especially to those destiny helpers that come to us for us to receive from above. So come and give tonight if you have a tithe as well, or anything that you want to give as an offering. That's, God loves a cheerful giver, and give from a cheerful heart, all in the precious name of Jesus. And I also want to pray a blessing on everybody that has come tonight. I pray, Father God, that everybody receives in their body, soul, and spirit. I pray, Father God, that your spirit will continue to move in them in peace and joy, and so that they will fulfill their destiny as they go tomorrow, today, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of the week till we meet again. Father God, you are a blesser. That's all you want to do for us. You have nothing evil for us. Everything that your thoughts about us are good, not for evil. And I thank you, Father God, that's a promise, and that we receive it now in the name of Jesus. I pray that each and everybody that's heard these meetings, Father God, that we're participating in these meetings, that they will continue to use what they learned, and that they will just be blessed everywhere that they go, and they will be a blessing to those who need to be blessed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Who's online today? We're on Zoom. Oh, Janet Ellis, we bless you.